How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, also up at WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk all of the news, of which, as always, there is an abundance. We've got the TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view taking place this afternoon. It is TNA's biggest show of the year. And in fact, if you have watched the build-up for the show over the last several weeks, by TNA standards, they've done an excellent job. And I would suspect the show does 30 to 35,000 buys. We'll talk about some predictions here later on in the show. Could be the last match in the career of Hulk Hogan. In fact, a lot of people believe it will be the last match in the career of Hulk Hogan. He is facing Sting in the semi-main event on the show. And, of course, the final match on the show scheduled to be Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode for the TNA title. We'll talk about that and the epic feud that is taking place right now on everyone's favorite social media tool, Twitter, between Hulk Hogan and AJ Styles, calling each other marks and jabronis. It's preposterous. We're going to talk about that here on the program. Plus, all of the rest of the news. Raw this past Monday night, based on our poll results, in which 80% of the viewers that responded to our poll thought the show was horrible. We're going to talk about that, plus the segments that drove off millions of fans. Over a million fans tuned out between the beginning of hour one and the end of hour two. We'll talk about some of the peaks in terms of tune-out were, and how that plays into tomorrow's Raw. It has already been taped. Might be some spoilers here on this show, but we'll give you plenty of warning. Tomorrow's show has already been taped. It's taking place from Mexico City, and there were some changes made to the show based on the response to Raw this past Monday night. We'll tell you about that. Plus, some new hirees, some new people being fired or moved from various locations in the television industry, including TNA, Spike, and Showtime, and a lot of other news as well, including a former WWE star busted for drugs and strong-arm robbery. So much stuff to talk about today. We're going to get into it here in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, and XM Radio, Channel 208. We might be on Sirius Channel 94 now, actually. There have been some changes of late, but Sirius Channel 94, I believe, is the correct channel. But streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com as well, Facebook.com/WrestlingObserver, Facebook.com/Official Brian Alvarez. A lot of different places you can go for information. We're here to talk about the news today, and the top story is the biggest show of the year for total non-stop action. TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. Hulk Hogan versus Sting in the main event of the show. And Mike, are you waiting with bated breath for Bound for Glory today?
You know what? Yes.
Really?
You know, after watching Bernard Hopkins last night, after hearing about Ricky Morton and Kevin Nash last night, after Raw on Monday night, you know what? I'm broken down enough. I'm ready to see Kurt Angle and Robert Roode.
That is the main event of the show, and it is interesting. Kurt Angle, actually, Angle, Hogan, some other guys have been doing various media appearances all week. AJ Styles is not, as Hulk Hogan has noted. We'll talk about that later. But the Hulkster has been on a bunch of shows, and Angle's been on it. Well, actually, Angle has been scheduled for a bunch of shows. But, in fact, Kurt Angle has no-showed a couple of appearances. And I know one appearance in particular on a Philadelphia radio show, he canceled on them, and they were very upset. And there was another show that he was scheduled to be on, and he did not show up, and the word was that he had a hamstring injury. And I know that at least one of his appearances, he was limping. So it is likely that, in fact, he does have some sort of hamstring injury. But my guess is, because he's Kurt Angle and he's crazy, he's going to go out there and he's going to go 100% with Bobby Roode, and it's probably going to be the best match on the show.
canceled an appearance because of a hamstring injury?
Apparently.
Well, you know, yeah, regardless of he could lose both arms and legs before tonight, he is still going to wrestle that match, and he's still probably going to make it. It's not like, you know, Bobby Roode's got handles or anything like that, but, you know, Kurt Angle being in a match, you know it's going to be good because he's not going to let it be anything other than good. But I'm really more stunned in the fact that Kurt Angle will cancel any appearance to talk.
Now, the Bobby Roode-Kurt Angle match, Bobby Roode has been in line for this shot for months now. They designed the Bound for Glory tournament so that he would win, and they've pushed him very hard since that point, which is actually funny because the idea to push Bobby Roode and to give him the championship match at Bound for Glory has gone back many, many months, and obviously he was booked to win the Bound for Glory tournament. But if you actually go back and you look at all of the matches that everybody had, I don't have it in front of me, but he had approximately, I think it was like two singles matches, and all of the other points that he got in the tournament were points that he got in tag team matches. So it's actually kind of funny that the winner of this tournament for a singles match actually won most of his matches as a tag team performer. But point is, he's here now. He's going for the championship. They've built it up for a long time. They've done great video packages on television for the past 3 weeks. And in your opinion, Mike, do they put the title on Bobby Roode, or do they do what some people are expecting, and that is James Storm turning on his partner and costing him the title?
Like, that's the one thing they can't do. There's no reason for them to do that. You know, it's doing it. That would be going through the motions of doing something just to do it. You know, I would, if I had any confidence at all in them, I would say, because you know it's going to be a good match, at least you can put your faith into, you know, having the best possible outcome. You know, Roode just barely misses tonight. And then you do it next month, and you build up the TV the way they've been doing with them anyway, which has been good, and you have them do that. Because I have no faith in TNA, I say put the title on them tonight. You got to strike while the iron's hot. This whole thing has been for him. You know, why put him in the class of just everybody else if he goes out there and doesn't win it? He's got to win it, if not tonight, at least next month. And I would rather them wait till next month. I just don't have enough faith that they won't screw something up along the way. So strike while the iron is hot and do it. Just whatever you do, don't have James Storm turn, because it doesn't, you can do that a lot. You don't have to do it at all if you were creative, but you don't have to do it also till later on down the line. Then that would explain why they would have a title match against each other, which will probably be pretty good.
I would put the title on him tonight without even batting an eyelash. The idea of coming close but not quite making it, I don't think you do that on your biggest show of the year. I like the story of coming close and not getting it and then getting it shortly thereafter. But to me, I would have had him come close but not get it 4 months ago. And then you build to his big second chance is taking place at Bound for Glory, and he's trained and he's worked hard, and maybe he went through the tournament after losing to get a second shot, and then he wins it in front of everybody. They didn't do all that. So to me, and again, also, I don't know if I necessarily have faith in them doing it right. So put the title on him tonight, and don't have Storm turn on him. I think fans just want to see a match with a winner tonight. That's how they've built it up for so long, is we're just going to have a match with a winner. You've got a bunch of matches on the undercard. You've got Full Metal Mayhems, Falls Count Anywhere, I Quit matches, Triple Threat matches. I'm sure somebody's going to run in the Hogan match. Just have a singles match for the title in the main event.
Yeah, that's especially after Monday night, too, where it's just, you know, hey, sometimes it's okay to have the wrestling match. You know, it's okay to trust in your performers because obviously you know what Kurt Angle is going to do. It's okay to not screw up the push of your next star, which is Bobby Roode, and they haven't done that yet. Don't get cute or try to or something like that where you end up screwing it up. There's no reason to. It's fine as a match.
Hogan and Sting is the semi-main event of this show. Stipulations are that if Sting loses, his career is over. And if Hulk Hogan loses, he rescinds the company back to Dixie Carter. And Dixie is going to be in attendance tonight. So I would suspect that's kind of a spoiler alert for everybody. I don't see Hulk Hogan winning this match. A lot of people talking that it might be Hogan's last match ever, and it's preposterous to say that in pro wrestling, but for health reasons, this may be Hogan's last match ever. That is possible. What he's going to do is going to depend on how he's feeling literally as we speak. They're probably deciding whether to do a bunch of stipulations or what kind of stipulations or who is going to be running in and take bumps for him. You know, he's already announced publicly, which is kind of funny, that he will not be taking any bumps in this match. It's not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a fight. There's going to be a lot of punching. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of blood. I still expect Ric Flair to run in and take a bunch of bumps for Sting. That's the way I'm expecting it to go. I don't know how you beat Hulk Hogan if he's not going to ever take a bump. I guess he's just going to have to sit down at the end of the match and get pinned. But that would be my prediction. Sting wins in, I don't know. I don't think this is going to be the worst match of all time, but it's certainly not going to be much of a match.
There's no hot scoops abounding of anyone coming in there tonight to possibly make a guest appearance to somehow throw more into this. I would say anybody who's not wrestling on the card tonight is going to be in there, and in fact, probably some others too, like Bully Ray and God knows who else. But yeah, I mean, the thing has been directed as Hulk Hogan can't wrestle anymore, and Dixie's going to be there, and this whole thing, as far as Dixie getting revenge and getting the company back, I guess that would make sense, although, again, this is TNA and everything, and I know there's some new pieces there, and they may have a new direction, but I mean, I just don't see how this isn't going to be all just one big cluster.
I see what they did over the last year. You know, it's funny because, you know, WWE, the booking in TNA overall is far worse because it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I guess it's a bad week to say this because Raw was so god-awful. But in general, the TNA booking doesn't make any sense, and it's kind of preposterous and that sort of thing. But this is a company that actually does have long-term plans. And I can see what their long-term plans were for this show, and they are solid. The problem was the execution of these plans. And we're going to talk about that a little bit after the break and run down the rest of this pay-per-view that's taking place this evening. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we do every Sunday, 3 to 5 Pacific, 6 to 8 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com. And in fact, moments after we go off the show, off the air today with this program, Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com of this pay-per-view, this Bound for Glory pay-per-view. So, if you are one of the, 1.45 million, I can't do math. If you're one of the people that's not buying this pay-per-view, which is probably most of you, you can head to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com and get all the results as they take place. So check that out. And, of course, later on this evening, Dave Meltzer and I will be up with a brand new show running down all of the results in detail. And we are still running down the card here. And what I was talking about before the break was the fact that TNA, as horrible as their booking can sometimes be, and it's been better lately, let's be fair, as horrible as it can be, they do have long-term planning in place. And I'm sure that when they first did the angle where Hulk Hogan and all of the heels took power away from Dixie Carter and took over control of the company, you know, the idea the entire way was to build towards Bound for Glory, where the babyfaces would get all the power back. And on paper, hey, fine storyline. And they're actually going to go through with it here tonight. Problem is, in execution, that's the problem with TNA, and it's always been the problem. You know, Vince Russo has great ideas. He has a lot of great ideas, but he doesn't know how to execute those ideas. He does not know how to follow through with those ideas. I mean, when you look at, like, a real story in a real book or a real movie, I mean, if you're going to take the power away from Dixie Carter, you got to have Dixie Carter be a character that people actually care about, a sympathetic character, a character that people love, and they're so sad and they're so angry that the power gets taken away from Dixie Carter. And if you've got a character who fans don't feel that way about, which Dixie Carter would be one of them. If the fans don't really care that much about Dixie Carter, and it's not this, fans are not in an uproar because the company got taken away from her, then you've got to somehow illustrate that with the heels in charge, things are worse off than they were when the babyface was in charge. And in fact, if you watch the show, things are always horrible in TNA. They're horrible whether a babyface is champion or whether a heel is champion. They're horrible whether a babyface is in charge or a heel is in charge. So to build up this big angle where all of a sudden the babyface is going to get the power back, I mean, does anyone actually believe anything is going to be different on Thursday? It's the heels are still going to be beating up the baby faces and trying to take the power. I mean, nothing's going to change. Nothing ever changes in TNA. So when nothing ever changes, it's really tough to build a stipulation where fans believe if I buy this show and if such and such happens, things are going to be different because, quite frankly, they just won't be.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, it's okay to have a goal in mind when you begin something, but it's how you get there, and it's like they never, that's fine, you want to get to be where the company is up in the air for Hogan versus Sting, but for how long have you known that Hogan is completely immobile? Obviously, they've done what they've done with Sting, which has made sense now on where they were kind of, going with that, and him being crazy as a conduit for Dixie, and getting, baiting Hogan back in, but you could have changed this up. I mean, how many times along the way where you could have gotten a actual match that you may have wanted to make people pay for instead of, basically, no matter what you think of Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode, is that enough to separate you from your $40 or whatever it is? And again, why not just sit there and wait till Thursday night like most of TNA's fan base does? And you touched on it. I mean, yes, this will do... possibly, I don't think it's even going to do as many as you think. It's about, let's say, 25,000 buys. 1.5 or whatever it is, however many people watch their TV every week, there's no change. I mean, you could have used the TV to get to pay-per-view instead of basically having a show tonight where it's like, does anyone really care about what's going to happen enough to pay for it as opposed to just waiting till Thursday?
Well, this is a show that, you throw out a lot of stipulations that nobody cares about and that sort of thing. And again, like I said, it's preposterous to talk about anybody's retirement because nobody ever retires. But this is a show where most likely this is going to be Hulk Hogan's last match. And my guess is you probably aren't going to see another Hulk Hogan versus Sting match. This is an opportunity for you to buy a show and probably see a part of history. All you can do nowadays, because stipulations have been killed so bad, I talked about this actually a couple of years ago in terms of different stipulations. All you can do is try to build stipulations that people will really believe. And I know that when people hear that, they're like, well, Brian, there's no such thing as a stipulation that people really believe. That's not true. When you did the Donald Trump Hulk Hogan WrestleMania, which ended up being the biggest WrestleMania of all time, the stipulation on top was real. Either Donald Trump was going to get whatever is on his head shaved off, or Vince McMahon was. You paid your money, and someone was going to lose their hair. It wasn't a fake retirement. It wasn't a fake firing. It wasn't any of these things that you just know. No one's really getting fired here. John Cena's not really getting fired. John Cena's not really getting sent away from Raw forever. You know that that's all ridiculous. But you knew that, okay, someone's not going to have hair tomorrow. And that's exactly what they gave you. And sometimes you can build around a stipulation, that they're I don't know if this is really a spoiler, because I think they just announced it on Raw. But on SmackDown this coming Friday, they are doing Sin Cara Blue versus Sin Cara Black in a mask versus mask match. Which, the idea of doing this for free on television with 4 days build is just, I mean, it's beyond my powers of comprehension. But the point is, that's a stipulation that people can believe in. Because they're going to see who one of these guys is. Now, obviously, it's going to be the heel. Not going to see who Mystico is, but the point is, you're going to get to see who one of these fellas is. That's a real, honest to God stipulation, and based on Hogan's age and wear and tear, I mean, the chances are, and this is not a guarantee like a hair match, but the chances are, if you want to see Hulk Hogan wrestling one more time, tonight's the night. And that's really the only thing selling the show. Because, you know, the stipulation, getting the company back, nobody cares about that. And there are other stipulations. I mean, nobody cares about titles. Nobody cares about, really even Sting's career being on the line. Nobody buys that one bit. Nobody buys any of the stipulations on this show because it's wrestling. So the best you can do is build it around most likely the man's final match based on his health, which they can't really do, but I think most people know that.
I guess, but you know what? I think that's in the same vein. You know, it's more people will look at this as Hogan making his last appearance, not really wrestling his, you know, his last match. I mean, does anyone think, you know, and have they made you think that this was going to be something so good that you couldn't miss it, even though Hogan's banged up, and even though he'll, you know he signed a new contract and he's still going to appear with the company, and obviously on pay-per-view. You know, what is going to make this supposed wrestling match any different than any other Hogan appearance? You know what I mean? I think that and the fact that this is, you know, supposedly their WrestleMania in theory, again, I don't think that means anything more special as far as buys go or anything like that. Just because most of the TNA pay-per-views haven't differentiated themselves enough where I don't think it's going to be dramatic just because it's, you know, just because it's Bound for Glory.
Well, I think this is a little more special in the sense that there has been a tremendous amount of publicity for this show, not only locally in Philadelphia. I've talked to people in Philadelphia who have said, man, it's everywhere. It's everywhere being billed as this big show. And Hogan's been on different programs. Kurt Angle is supposed to have been on different programs, although he didn't make all of them. And they are building it up like it is the big show of the year. And I think it's going to do 30, Mike. I think it's going to do 35. And you got to remember that a lot of people listening to this show grew up as Hulkamaniacs. And it sounds ridiculous to say this, but I really, honest to God, think that as 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern draws near, I think you're going to have a number of fans who just decide, you know what, I'm going to get this show. I'm going to watch one more Hogan Sting match. I really think you're going to get that. You know, not in numbers like 50,000, 60,000, 80,000, 100,000. That's absolutely ridiculous. But Bound for Glory last year did 35, and I see absolutely no reason why this shouldn't at least tie or maybe even do better than last year. You know, I believe between 30 and 40 is a perfectly a reasonable number to expect for this show. And then next month I expect to be back down to 8.
Well, you know, I hope for their sake it is, too. And under the circumstances, I mean, this would be a good time to have a really good show. And the fact that it is in Philadelphia, too, with what is going to be a nice and vocal fan base, I guess I can see it helping a little bit. I just don't think it's going to be as dramatic as you think it is. And again, one of the reasons why is when we go down the card, I mean, stipulations on matches where it's like, do you need to have stipulations? You know, you talk about Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood said they were never going to team again, and they had to turn against Sergeant Slaughter and Don Cornoodle, and they had to turn like 15,000 people away from the Greensboro Coliseum. Now, most of those people, I assume, knew wrestling was not exactly on the level, but they got allowed themselves to be at so emotionally invested because it was a stipulation that meant something, and this is a show. Again, if they're not buying for Hogan, or maybe because they really believe in Angle Rude, there's no other reason for people to care about this show, which is something has got to change.
Well, one thing I want to say before we go to break is that I've noted that the show has been better over the last 3 weeks or so, but there are still problems in TNA that run very deep. And until Vince Russo is like completely gone from the company, you're always going to have these problems. And there are two problems. One of those is that they always feel there's got to be a million stipulations. And you look up and down this card. We'll go over the lineup here in a moment when we come back from break. But you don't need all these stipulations. You just don't. And the other problem is they don't put together cards based on who's going to have good matches like they did back in the day under Scott D'Amore. You know, it's just like, okay, well, we'll put these two guys together. And then they just kind of pray, I guess, they have a good match. We'll talk more about it after the break and run down the card. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour and a half, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Channel 208, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Streams live if you can't find it on any of those other outlets. We are here every week, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 8 Eastern, and we are here every day at WrestlingObserver.com. If you only get to hear this show one time per week, you're missing out. We do daily radio shows, daily, for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 per month. $10.99 a month. That's all you pay. And for that, you get access to every single show we do. I do shows virtually every day, as noted. We have a number of other hosts as well that fill in the blanks. 10, 15, sometimes as many as 20 radio shows every single week. If you love this show, you can head up there and download MP3s, not only of all of the new programs that we do every single day and week, but our entire archive is available for subscribers. If you sign up now for $10.99, you can go back into the archives and listen to shows that we did in June of 2005. Every show we've done, interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business. A lot of the guys on Bound for Glory, in fact. Ric Flair has been on the show. I believe Bobby Roode has been on the show as well. We've had Bruno Sammartino on the show. I believe Austin Aries, trying to look through the list here. Chris Daniels has been on the show. Who else? Rob Van Dam has been on the show. Jerry Lynn has been on the show. Anyway, the list goes on and on. The people we've interviewed, they're all in the archives right now. The archives are searchable. If you go to the gym, if you work, if you do a commute, any of these places that you like listening to audio, you could be listening to this show every single day. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. I've said it a million times. If you love this program here on Sports Byline USA, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99. Sign up today. Try it out for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again, but pretty sure you're going to like it. So check it out. If you do, if you sign up right now, you can hear our Bound for Glory recap later on this evening. You don't even have to wait till next week for the next Observer Live. Dave Meltzer and I are going to be up later on tonight with a brand new show running down the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, which we're talking about here on this program. Anyway, as I noted, there was a time years ago where Scott D'Amore, when he was booking, would put together pay-per-views, and he would build them backwards based on who would have the best matches. So he had these awesome pay-per-views. Nowadays, it's let's build a story, it's going to culminate with Hulk Hogan and Sting, and there's no thought put into the fact, wait a second, can Hulk Hogan and Sting actually do a singles main event? Which is why we're kind of in the situation that we are here. But looking at the rest of this show, Mike, Winter, Velvet Sky, Mickey James, and Madison Rayne for the women's title. Who's walking out with the belt?
Velvet Sky.
Agreed. I believe she's leaving with the title as well. I thought they'd do a better job building this up. I really thought that, everybody. But they didn't. So we'll see what they do here. But it's kind of funny. On the last show, they had this great confrontation between Velvet Sky and Karen Jarrett. I thought it was great. I thought Karen Jarrett was awesome. They really built up a hearty feud between the two, and they're not wrestling each other. So can't win them all. We have Rob Van.
I was just thinking, as you were running down the list of names of people in TNA who have appeared on the shows with you and or Dave, Samoa Joe and Jeff Jarrett's father both have, yet they're not on this show.
That's right. That's right.
Jeff or Jerry.
Wait a second. Samoa Joe's on this show.
Is he?
Yeah. Samoa Joe.
Matt Morgan.
Morgan, Crimson, and Samoa Joe are having a three-way match. I guess the important question is, who do you expect to lose this match?
Samoa Joe.
Agreed. I don't have this confirmed, but my gut feeling is Joe is leaving TNA very soon. I could be absolutely wrong. Do not report this. Brian Alvarez reports that Samoa Joe is leaving TNA. It's not what I said. I know that he's got a contract that I believe is coming due soon. And just based on the way he's been booked, I just can't imagine him staying around. Maybe he will. Maybe he has not re-signed, but he's going to re-sign tonight, and he'll end up winning this match and ending Crimson's win streak. I don't know. But just based on booking, I can't imagine him sticking around, but you never know. So there you go. That's the three-way. AJ Styles faces Christopher Daniels in an inexplicably booked I Quit match. I don't know why. They'd have an awesome singles match. Now they have to have a singles match with no near falls, which always boggles my mind. But we'll see how it goes. What are your what's your prediction for this match? I'm hoping Chris Daniels wins because I've got a bet with Todd Martin here that I didn't understand how to play his pay-per-view pick'em game. And if Chris Daniels doesn't win, I'm in trouble.
Well, I will go with you, and I'll go with Chris Daniels, although, yeah, it's like, why are they doing this? And for them to actually, I think, make this match other than just, you know, having a stipulation on a match, you'd have to give them time, which they're not going to have on here. So, it was poorly thought out, but one of those things where it's like, you got to do something just to do it, but I'll go with Chris Daniels.
Why do you say they would have time?
Because it's... I think for them, because they need 25 minutes, I think, to build to this and get people into it where it will not just come across as, and I'm not saying they're bad, and I'm not saying it's their fault or anything, where this isn't just going to be, I guess it would be my perception of, you're having a match to have a match.
All right, let me...
With a stipulation on there, it's like, you know, let them, are they going to have, you know, if they had 25 or 30 minutes to build up, it's an I Quit match. I mean, it's just only in modern times where I Quit matches have been, you know, relatively short. I mean, you're supposed to have lots of time to build up to two guys killing each other because they can't pin each other or get a flash pin or anything like that. Two guys whipping each other so bad where one of them says, I quit.
All right, let me see if I can time this pay-per-view out a little bit. If we give them, let's say we give them 25 minutes total, including ring entrances, and we give Angle and Rude, let's say we give them 30 minutes total involving entrances. That's 55 minutes. So that would leave 2 hours for the other six matches. And of those matches, I don't expect Joe, Crimson, and Morgan to go more than 8 minutes. That would be a disaster. And I don't expect the women to go more than eight. That would be a disaster. So that's 16 minutes. And that leaves 1, 2, 3, 4 matches that have to fill up the rest of 2 hours. So about, I think you could do it. I mean, Hogan and Sting, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how long they're going to go, but I mean, they can't go that long. Because, you know, they're not going to be running and jumping or anything like that. But I mean, think about it. Hogan can't do anything. You know, and by that I mean, you know, not only can he not do anything in a ring, but how does he do cardio? You know, does he can't run, and maybe he rides a bike or something like that. But you know, the match probably has to be kept short because I don't know what kind of wind he's got. Even just doing a brawl, so I think it's possible that they might be able to give them a little bit of time here.
I think you're giving them too much credit because the way I would figure it, if Sting Hogan is the semi-main event, you have the women's match maybe in there. Let's say separated. And then the main event, that's the entire last hour. Figure with nonsense interviews and talking and vignettes and stuff like that in the middle, RVD, Lynn, Anderson, Bully Ray, Austin, Aries, and Kendrick, say that's an hour's worth of stuff. Still, you could give them 40 minutes, and that would be right. It's just, you know, with 25 minutes from, you know, ring entrances to finish, it's still really not enough time to make me buy either one of those guys quitting in 20 minutes. It just, I don't know, it just seems to be... It's just a waste. Them having a match would actually serve more purpose.
Well, I will say one other thing. That I saw a match. Was it Dragon Gate USA? It was John Moxley and Jimmy Jacobs, and they had an I Quit match. And I think they only got about I'd say between 12 and 15 minutes. And if you didn't see the match, you probably hear that and you think, well, this really couldn't have been that good a match, Brian. But this match was awesome. I mean, it was fabulous I Quit match. And if it were any other two guys in the company of TNA, I would think, I don't know if they can do it. I shouldn't say any two guys because I'll bet Robert Roode and James Storm could do a pretty damn good 15-minute I Quit match. But I think AJ and Daniels could pull it out believably, just working at a really fast pace. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Regardless, I think it's going to be a pretty good match.
By the way, this reminds me, too, John Moxley is awesome. So I forget what his name is in Florida, too, but he's great there, too.
Oh, Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, yes.
I don't know how I remember these things sometimes. Austin Aries and Brian Kendrick for the title. I don't know. I don't know. A logical, intelligent person would predict Austin Aries, but a person who has followed TNA for many years, such as myself, might in fact predict Brian Kendrick.
I actually think it's going to be Austin Aries, and because I think they know. I mean, it's nothing against Brian Kendrick or anything like that, but there, you can't really go any further with this. I think they even realize that okay, this is enough now. So, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of guys out there for Austin Aries to have good matches with, and there's lots and lots of people that they can have Brian Kendrick talk nonsense to and shake his head and be, you know, and flip around in matches. So I think it's time for Aries and somebody else for the title.
I think you might be surprised, but I hope not.
No, I really wouldn't be surprised either.
Falls Count Anywhere, Philly Street Fight. It is Mr. Anderson versus Bully Ray. I think it's going to be all right. I've been a real big fan of Bully Ray of late. Mr. Anderson has not annoyed me as much as usual. And they're going to have a lot of gimmicks, obviously. So could be a pretty good match.
Yeah, I actually think this is going to be... It's not going to be the best match on the show, but it may be, you know, everyone's guilty pleasure as far as being the most enjoyable match on the show. You get Bully Ray in Philadelphia with plenty of plunder and two guys, you know, screaming obscenities at each other, I'm sure, throughout the match, too, which will make the fans enjoy it even more, and it'll just be way over the top, and at least that's what I'm hoping for, because, I mean, what else do you want out of it? So I'm thinking this could actually be the most fun thing on the show.
And we've got Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn in a Full Metal Mayhem match. Now, for those of you listening to this going, what in God's name is a Full Metal Mayhem match? Well, it's a TLC match. And for those of you now asking, well, why in God's name are Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn doing a TLC match at Bound for Glory? Well, the answer is because it's TNA. And because it's Bound for Glory and because they need a stipulation. I don't know what's going to be hung above the ring. Maybe a walker. You know, no offense to either guy. I actually like Jerry Lynn. He's a great guy. But he's in his mid to late 40s. And he's just coming off back surgery. You know, why are you putting a guy in his mid to late 40s who, granted, you know, Jerry Lynn could outwork most of the TNA roster at near 50 with back surgery. But should not be falling off ladders and going through tables and landing outside the ring and doing all this stuff near 50 with just having undergone back surgery. It's a bad idea. Why is he being put in this match? And Rob Van Dam, God bless the guy, but he has slowed down considerably in the last couple of years. And this is another example of, I think, the company remembering some RVD Jerry Lynn matches from the 90s and thinking, my God, can you imagine the TLC match that they would have? And in their brain, they're thinking of a TLC match in ECW back in the day. And in my brain, I'm thinking, this is real slow Rob Van Dam against surgically repaired Jerry Lynn. These guys should not be battling with ladders.
No, I don't even want to see them facing each other, and no offense to either one of them, but in the battle of bad haircuts, I'm at least in 2011, I'll take Rob Van Dam.
As far as having a worse haircut?
They're both pretty bad.
Oh, Rob Van Dam's is far worse. Jerry Lynn just has long hair that he bleaches. Rob Van Dam still shaves underneath.
Yeah, but he looks all scraggly and just like, you can imagine like Jerry Lynn just standing outside like, you know, trying to steal your lotto tickets when you walk back out the door at 7-Eleven, you know, beer in a 40-ounce in a bag, or I don't know. Sorry, Jerry.
But he'd be in great shape.
Yes, he would.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the pre-show match. I know you're thrilled. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2.5 minutes before we head to our hourly break. Then we'll be back for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Wanted to very quickly run down the dark match. There's actually a dark match, believe it or not, for the TNA show. It is Mexican America, Anarquia, and Hernandez. They are going to be facing Ink Ink, Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore for the TNA Tag Team Championship of the Earth in the dark match on the pay-per-view. And in fact, for those of you that have got to see this match, it is available on the Barker channel, I think. But also, you can view it on Facebook. How about that, Mike?
Good. I'll take it. And the reason why is it just my cable company, I have Comcast. I don't know for how long now. I think since the digital box era, the Barker channel does not actually show the countdown or preview matches anymore like they used to back in the day. I have not gotten those in so long. So now, finally, just out of not being able to wait till 8 o'clock to see my professional wrestling events, finally, like back in the day, I'll be able to get a half hour of TNA action, at least available through Facebook, and I'll get to see Mexican America, which I don't really want to see the match, them and Ink Inc., because, well, I just don't really want to see the match. But if Rosita's out there, that's okay.
She is a lovely lass.
Small girl.
I will say this about Facebook. I got a lot to say about Facebook. I better actually talk about it after the break. But my cable company, I don't know if it still does this because I actually buy all the pay-per-views. But for a while there, if I had not ordered the pay-per-view yet, I couldn't actually watch the pre-show. How wacky is that?
Yeah, I never understood that either. There was another Comcast thing that used to annoy me.
Yeah, I got that now. Like the half-hour preview show, the half-hour commercial for the show, you can't watch unless you actually buy the show. What? What? It's ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, I got some things to say about Facebook and TNA and UFC. A lot of stuff to talk about here. And, I've got stuff to talk about. What a teaser that is. Come back, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live Hour 2 here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by the great Mike Sempervivi of WrestlingObserver.com. 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline Radio, Sirius Channel, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming online on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour talking about the TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view. We ran down all the matches for TNA's version of WrestleMania. And we got a lot of other news to talk about here in the second hour. I briefly mentioned in the first hour that on Friday on SmackDown from Mexico, it is going to be Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. The babyface Sin Cara versus the evil heel masked Sin Cara. Yes, they are already doing a mask match for free on television with less than a week's build. Mike, what are your thoughts on this match?
With what they're doing in their world, it makes complete sense. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand why they never wanted to have more than two masked guys at once in the company. I mean, they really don't want to have more than one, but, you know, having Mysterio and Sin Cara technically there, it makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, to even being short-sighted about it, it's like, another week? You got a pay-per-view coming up you really have barely announced anything for God's sakes. I mean, you know, why on SmackDown is the rating going to help itself that much? It just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Kind of frustrating to me because there's a real story here. I mean, there's a real story that they briefly touched on SmackDown.
Yeah, why
SmackDown.
Did they even bother having them drop the name then?
I mean, there's so many questions here. In fact, I'd like to talk about this a little bit after the break. I got a bunch of things I've been teasing for hour two that I got to talk about here, but this is a big one. This is a big match, and the fact that they're just so nonchalantly throwing it away, I realize they want to do it in Mexico, but it just shows such a lack of foresight. And I'll talk about this after the break. I got things to say. I'm going to be back in just a moment talking more. We got a lot of news from pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as well. Going to be a fun hour. Be right back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We have tons of stuff to talk about here today. I had two things in particular that I wanted to get into. One is the Mystico versus Mystico, Sin Cara versus Sin Cara feud. The other is Facebook and TNA. I think I'll get into that first, since I promised it a little bit earlier. Facebook and TNA. They are airing a dark match, a prelim match on Facebook tonight. In fact, in about half hour, don't turn this show off. by God, but it's up there. It's going to be on Facebook, this pre-show match. El Anarquia, Mexican America, basically, versus Ink Geek. Anyway, point is, they're doing this on Facebook. And UFC has been doing their prelims on Facebook for a while now. And the Facebook, I've gotten various reports. I've had some people in UFC tell me, you know, these, nobody watches these prelims on Facebook. I've had other people that say, yeah, you know, they don't do too bad. They do all right on Facebook. Some people actually, when they look at the numbers, presume that actually say it's doing very, very good. But it's all relative. I mean, it's nothing even remotely close to approaching what they would do on television. Point is, UFC also at one point ran in some movie theaters. They ran their events in theaters. And now they aren't doing that anymore, you'll notice. Because it didn't do well. I think the first one did well, and after that, it didn't do well. And there's actually a story to that to me as well. I mean, you know, when you run a big event in a theater, and it does well, and then you run less important events in a theater, and they don't do well, to me, you don't conclude, oh, we should never bother running in a theater again. You should just conclude that, okay, big events can go in theaters, little events can't. But that's not what they decided. But the point of all of this is that TNA has apparently looked at things that UFC has done, and they've just decided, well, since UFC did it, it must be a success. Let's try it. Not actually going, okay, well, yes, UFC's running on Facebook, but did anyone actually watch? And UFC ran in theaters. Is anybody actually buying? Did anybody actually go? Because the answer to both questions, particularly the theater question of late, is no. So it's another example of TNA not looking at what's actually going on. Well, let's instead of saying let's look at the economics of this and let's see if it's successful of you for UFC. Same thing they've done many times with angles that WWE did. It's like, oh well, WWE ran this angle, so now we should run this angle. As opposed to looking at the angle and going, did this angle actually work? Was it actually a success? Did anybody actually buy the pay per view because of this angle? And that's just not the way they operate. They're running the theater in Kennewick, Washington. It's the only one in all of Washington State that is airing this pay-per-view. It's in Kennewick. Okay, the only thing that anyone knows about Kennewick is it's the home of Kennewick Man. That's literally the only thing.
You know, he's a superhero.
It's part of the Tri-Cities, but you know, I don't picture like tons of people driving from the Tri-Cities to get to Kennewick just to watch TNA Bound for Glory on the big screen. I mean, no one's going to show up for this thing. It's going to be a monstrous failure. And, you know, I would think that most places around the country, it's going to be a monstrous failure as well. I'm sure there's probably a few places that it's going to do acceptable. But just a bad idea. You don't need to copy things just for the sake of copying them. Don't assume that because somebody else did something that you should also do it. Look at what somebody else did and whether or not it was a success, and then think about it for a while. Go, okay, if it wasn't a success, why? And if it was a success, why? TNA never does that, and that's one of their big problems.
Well, they tried to bring it back with boxing, too, and I mean, has it worked? I mean, just because you can get what in theory would be, you know, more exposure, in theory, because there's more places that would be running the show where people could congregate. I mean, is it worth it to get involved with? And again, no matter what good deal they may have gotten on this, like you're saying, I mean, is it something that's going to work? I mean, pay-per-views, for the most part, people are going to go out for them, they're bar events. They're restaurant events, you know, where somewhere where you have it up and, you know, can have drinks and things like that. I don't see why this is a big deal, and I don't see why, I guess, I don't know. Technically, you're getting it out there more, so I guess you can tout it, but it just doesn't make any sense to me, too.
Now, the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara mask versus match deal. This is like, this could have been a real big deal in Mexico. It could have been a really, really big deal. Because if you're a Lucha Libre fan in Mexico, you know this story. If you've read any of the magazines, there are in fact wrestling magazines in Mexico still, like a lot of them. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of them, but the point is, if you've read any of the Super Luchas or whatever, I mean, you know the story. There was a guy who was wrestling in the Juarez area, and he used the name Mystico. And very shortly thereafter, CMLL created a new character that they called Mystico. And the CMLL version became a gigantic star, the biggest star, such a huge star, in fact, that he won the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Wrestler of the Year Award, the only luchador in history to win the Wrestler of the Year Award in the Observer. Gigantic star. And, of course, the other Mystico was very upset about this. And both Mysticos ended up being signed to WWE, and, in fact, they are playing the roles right now of Sin Cara Good and Sin Cara Evil. And these two Sin Caras, these two former Mysticos, who one has accused the other of stealing his gimmick, and the other has claimed, "I didn't know anything about this." They had a story on WWE.com, and they very briefly mentioned it on SmackDown. These two men are having a mask versus mask match. It is the two Mysticos facing off with the masks on the line. I mean, this could have been so big in Mexico. I mean, it's not even funny. And instead, it's just a throwaway match on a show where the tickets have already been sold on a SmackDown show. And even in America, you could have made this into a much bigger deal. I mean, instead of just, just casually mentioning this on a SmackDown and moving on, I mean, you could have used some, I'm sure you could have got some footage from an indie show or something, I don't know. Or, you could have done a better job. The whole idea behind WWE is to promote matches, to promote matchups. And they didn't do anything to promote this feud except have both guys wear the same outfit and one guy attack the other guy. That's the extent of this. And now they're going to have a throwaway mask match on SmackDown. And it's such a waste. I mean, it's burning money. I mean, why don't you just send that money, for example, to me? You know, I'd happily take all the money that you burned on this stupid feud that you've done here. You know, it's just, it's kind of infuriating to me to think of how much money was just burned by just throwing this man. They didn't even do it on pay-per-view. Didn't even do it at Survivor Series. You know, didn't even, at the very least, for God's sake, you could have built this up, done a much better job promotion, and said, you know, in 2 months in Mexico City on SmackDown, these guys are putting their mat. Nothing like that. They didn't do anything like that. It's just such a waste.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's amazing the aversion to money. And again, I mean, look at what their priority list is for guys that they actually care about, much less, you know, Sin Cara, who, yeah, I know they should care about him a lot more for the amount of merchandise he sells and for, you know, what he was in Mexico and in the whole nine yards there. But, I mean, look at the greater picture of everything that they're doing and the lack of foresight and the lack of follow-up and not being able to strike all the iron as hot is, you know, pretty epic. And this is just, you know, this is a small part of it, but, you know, it's a bright, shiny part of it because it is such a, it's just something, again, that's so, you know, time-tested, that is something that could work and something that would get people into it, and they don't do it. You know, they're either, you know, too hard-headed to do it, and they're turning their nose up at doing the idea and saying, well, no, the only way we do things is the way we do things, and that's it. It's either that or it's just not, the planning is that poor where they're that much of a scrambled mess. So it's either arrogance or just ineptitude, and either one is not acceptable.
I just feel that they sit there and they just go, let's get the thing over with. We're in Mexico, yeah. Let's just put the matches. How about you?
The fact that they didn't even say what was going there. Remember, they used to put up flags and graphics, and we're going to London next week for Raw. We're doing this. They had the first one in Mexico. Del Rio doesn't talk. He's the one with the title, which, you know, compounds that even worse, but they don't even hype up the fact they're going there. So why would anybody care what happens there?
No promo from Mystico, the original. Well, I guess it would depend on who you consider the original, but the CMLL Mystico, nothing. It's just a waste. But, that's wrestling here in 2011, everybody. Just a lot of things wasted. Which leads us to Raw when we come back from this break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next, I'd say about 40 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We have a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Raw last Monday night. Oh, boy. Dave does polls on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com asking, what did you think of last night's show? Excellent, good, average, fair, poor. And didn't see the show. Was another one of the options. 80% of the folks that watched Raw thought the show sucked. Which I don't think we've ever had a poll result like that before. Mike, what did you think of Raw on Monday night?
It sucked. It was so... It's stuff we talk about on this show, and it's stuff that gets talked about all the time. Like, everything, like, kind of came to roost in one show where, you know, not developing talent, having the only handful of guys that you have being, you know, WWE corporate shill cut out, you know, nothings. The guys you do build up, you know, saddle them with the WWE way, which takes their edge off. Guys who aren't supposed to be parts of the active roster, is, you know, that guy's the biggest superstar of the show. Not planning things out ahead of time, not having, you know, structured goals, not developing talent, having the wrong guys, you know, try to sell people on separating themselves from money for pay-per-views and with your announcers. I mean, just every single thing that is wrong with WWE came to light on Monday night, and it was amazing watching it, where it was just like, I wonder how other people think about this, because it's blowing my mind. And then to find out after it's over that it's not just the most diehard of fans that hated this show, it was even the average fan that just, one, they've already been, you know, you've ticked them off because there's been such, you know, story, there's the holes in your storylines that even they cannot get into it, and they're questioning it. And then, you know, on Monday night, they did a show that was a turnoff for everybody. It may have been good for Vince McMahon or for his ego or whatever it was, but for everyone else, it was just a nonsensical bad television show.
This was a follow-up to The Walkout. And The Walkout, I guess the good news is that the show did a 3-2. A lot of people were like, oh, it did a 3-2. It was a success. Well, what happened was, you know, it opened at like a 3-6 because a lot of people tuned in to find out what happened with The Walkout. And then as the show went on, people started turning off the show in enormous numbers. And by the time the show ended, Raw opened with a 3.6, I believe, maybe 3.65, somewhere around there. And it ended at a 2.77. So this was Impact at its worst levels of fan turnoff. The numbers of fans that tuned out of the show is just, it's astonishing. But that's just, they presented a show that people did not want to see. And what it is, I've seen this on a lot of shows. And not even just shows, but angles. You know, we saw this with Nexus, and then we saw this with CM Punk, and now we saw it with The Walkout, and we've seen it with different shows here and there. I don't remember exact shows, but we've seen it. And that is that there are a lot of fans, including a lot of you listening to this show right now, that don't watch wrestling anymore. You were wrestling fans growing up, you loved wrestling, and at some point in the last decade, it got too stupid for you. And so you stopped watching. And you still listen to this show. Many of you are still subscribing to WrestlingObserver.com. You still like following wrestling. You still like seeing what's going on. You still like us hearing talking about wrestling when it was actually cool. But you don't watch the current product. Lots of fans like this. Now, what happens is every now and then, WWE will book something that will get you, disgruntled fan, interested enough to watch the show to find out what's going to happen. Because you can't, well, I shouldn't say you can't totally drive off wrestling fans. But if you're a wrestling fan, I mean, you're going to be somewhat interested in this for life. You know, I have people reading the newsletter that stopped watching in like the mid-90s. Still read about it. But every now and then, WWE will book an angle that'll bring those people back for a moment. And I think a lot of those people come back and they think, you know, maybe this is it. Maybe this is going to be, this angle intrigues me. Maybe this will be the start of a turnaround. I always hear that. Maybe this is going to be the start of wrestling getting cool again. Maybe this is going to be the start of a new boom period. Maybe this will be an interesting angle and people will get elevated and things will be different. Fans keep giving it another shot, but they're always let down. And they were let down with the Nexus angle. They were let down with the CM Punk angle. They were let down with the walkout angle. They're always let down. And it always goes back to the same old, same old. John Cena on top as the main guy. Randy Orton is the main guy on the other show. And I have no problem with Randy Orton on the other show. And I have no problem with John Cena, but I don't need to see him champion for the 12th time. Or Triple H on top again. You know, Triple H is the main guy. It always goes back to the same thing, the same reasons they're not watching. And what's kind of scary about it is if you look back, you know, 3 or 4 years, when they shot a big angle and people came back, a lot more people came back 3 or 4 years ago than are coming back today. You know, Raw doing a big walkout angle and they ended up doing a 3.7 for the first quarter of the next show. You know, a few years ago, that probably would have been like a 4-2. But now, less and less people are coming back for these big angles because they've been burned one too many times. Now, when Raw comes back, do I expect a 4.0 quarter? Yeah, probably. Probably going to do at least one 4.0 quarter. But in general, it's just they've been burned and they're burning the fans, and this was another example of it. How many times can fans watch Jim Ross being fired? What is entertaining about Jim Ross being lambasted on live TV and fired in front of his wife when neither of them knew that it was going to happen? What's entertaining about that? And to me, nothing. I mean, maybe if you really don't like Jim Ross, you get off on it. But I mean, in general, for your average fan, there's nothing entertaining about this. It's just something they do to entertain themselves. And so, it's just, there's a lot of problems, Mike. There's a lot of problems.
Even if it was entertaining every time, I mean, does it do anything where it's going to make people buy what you're selling? And no, it just makes it worse because he's the best one and actually making people try to buy what you're selling and you keep pushing him away. I know I'm not the normal here, but, you know, it's like having the memories of, I remember when Iron Sheik was feuding with Sergeant Slaughter when I was a little kid, and Sheik went by the flag bearer and kicked him in the nuts and walked off, and, you know, Vince McMahon was screaming he never let Old Glory touch the ground, and, you know, Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin dressed up as a woman and knocked, you know, Flair out when he was doing a conversation. It was just, you remember these things. You know, Hogan and Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania, all of that sort of stuff, you remember those things, and what are they doing for the next generation of people where they're going to want to remember this stuff? I mean, there's one thing with wanting to be pop culture. There's another thing with planting seeds and trying to create fans that will be willing to get into what you're doing for the rest of their lives, and they make fun of that 10% of people that are so into it, they're going to watch whenever, and they're as much a battered wife as they blame JR to be when it comes to, you know, always going back to wrestling. But at the same time, that 10%, they love to tweak, because who else would this have annoyed with Jim Ross other than Jim Ross and his wife? You know, you take digs at that percentage, but they're also the people that support you nonstop because they started watching from a young age and got so into it that, you know what, the memories of how great wrestling could be, you know, is still what plugs them on, and you insult them all the time. It would be one thing if you're building more fans who you're planting seeds for, but who cares? I mean, who's watching right now and what memories are being created, you know, that's going to get people coming back time after time? That's why they have to go back to the Mick Foley's, the Triple H's, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker's, who they're done. It should be Dolph Ziggler and these other people now, and they keep having to go back to that, and those guys can't go anymore, so there's only so much you can go back to because they can't wrestle anymore.
Dave actually had an interesting thing in his update yesterday talking about Twitter, and we could discuss that here a little bit, how he was talking to somebody, and I could actually probably find the exact thing that he wrote right here. It's been very controversial. Got a lot of people on our board writing about it, and here we go. Twitter and business. This is from Dave. He writes, I was in a discussion yesterday with the head of a major promotion talking about that every major company has embarked on usage of Twitter and Facebook. They've all ended up having their key business metrics decline, while WWE and UFC are still bringing in millions of fans. There is a reason why. Stars killing their aura as stars. They get people to talk about them, but they also make people less want to pay to see them because they come across like they aren't stars. Not saying some people don't come across as stars or it's a negative, but the ones that do are the minority, the ones that use it successfully. I disagree with this. The problem is not Twitter. Now, granted, there are certain people that because of Twitter and Facebook, they have killed themselves. Not literally, but like Matt Hardy. I mean, Matt Hardy has used Twitter and social media to his great disadvantage. You know, it just... a disaster. The Hardys in general have. But the issue is not that Twitter makes people look like geeks. The issue is that WWE makes their workers look like geeks. You know? Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger and David Otunga. I mean, these guys are booked to be such geeks. You know, everybody on the undercard outside of Orton and John Cena. And of late, Mark Henry. But, I mean, everybody under that, I guess Big Show's return has been good as well. But, I mean, in general, your entire undercard and low card, they're all booked to look like geeks. It's all a thing. They are not booked to look like stars. They're booked to look like geeks. It has nothing to do with Twitter. It has nothing to do with Facebook. It has to do with the fact that they are booked to look like geeks. And nobody cares about geeks. We can talk about this and get your opinions after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 20 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, Sports Byline USA, streaming live on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And later on tonight, for subscribers, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be up with a brand new radio show talking Bound for Glory, all of the results of all of the matches, all of the angles. We're going to be talking about all of it, as we do virtually every single day for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. 1 month for $10.99. And for that, you get 15 to 20 brand new radio shows every single week. I do radio virtually every single day. In fact, many Thursdays, I have of late been doing as many as 4 shows in one day. So if you love this show and you only get to hear it once per week, well, you are missing out. WrestlingObserver.com is a place to go. We've interviewed some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. We do shows after Raw, after pay-per-views, a number of different shows. We have a bunch of hosts talking everything from pro wrestling to the history of wrestling, mixed martial arts, the history of MMA, hockey, Japan, Mexico, the whole nine yards. And After Dark Radio. I had a brand new After Dark Radio this past Friday, talking to Ronald Kessler, a 4-time New York Times bestselling author who has written The Secrets of the FBI. The book was awesome. I'm not going to lie. The show was awesome. All up there right now at WrestlingObserver.com. So again, I've said it a million times. If you love this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. And again, it's only $10.99 a month. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But if you love this show, I guarantee you're going to love it. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. If you're still not sure, scroll down the right-hand side of the page. Listing of our latest 3 to 4 free radio shows. Just click on them. It's an MP3 or it's streaming. Listen to it. If you like what you hear, you can get that every day. So check it out. And let's talk about geeks, Mike.
There's plenty of them on the WWE roster right now. I mean, remember, it was 2 weeks ago on Raw where I was screaming for, like, you know, like you'd scream at the screen for a woman who won't leave the house when it's haunted, and they're saying, get out. It's like, Ted DiBiase, get out of that building, after they had buried John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler and Jinder Mahal, all of these guys in a row that they just kind of smacked down. And then, again, on Monday night, I mean, I'm not the biggest John Morrison proponent in the world. I mean, there are other guys, Ziggler being one of them, that would place higher than him on people to feature. But with that said, he comes back in after the announcement is made that Johnny Ace is going to be the new GM of the show. He walks back in, immediately insults him, and gets set out there to get killed. And again, John Morrison, there's got to be something else you could do with him other than treat him like a fool, you know, time in and time out. I'm not sold on him as some, you know, world title contending guy, but he is a guy that's, in theory, if he doesn't kill his body, going to be around for a while for you. So unless he is not going to be around anymore, and that's why they're doing this, it makes absolutely no sense. I know Drew McIntyre, they don't like his woman, and he's done some things that has upset them, but he's still under contract with you. I mean, stop taking out so many personal things on these guys professionally because you're selling an entertainment product to TV. I mean, I know the producers of Two and a Half Men were pissed at Charlie Sheen, but they, like, had a little thing that they would throw in there, and they wouldn't bury the show with, like, it makes no sense. They have built nobody. They have Randy Orton. They have John Cena. They kind of have Sheamus. Who else? I mean, CM Punk. Good for him. He's established now. That's all they got, and nobody cares about anybody else, and it's like the memorable angles or anything else. They got to rebuild trust back in people caring about any of these guys because tons have come in, tons have gone out, yet the same guys are still on top and nothing changes.
CM Punk looked like a geek on Raw. Vince McMahon comes out, and of course, he'd been fired as COO. And some people, you know, I talked about how, why is this guy who has no power coming here? And there were some people that are like, oh, he's still the chairman. He's just not the COO. Like, any of this really matters. But let's just say he is the chairman. Okay, he still has no power. I mean, even the people that said that he was the chairman admitted that this was a figurehead role for him. So this guy that comes out that essentially has no power over, he can't hire, he can't fire. He's not the COO of the company. He's just a figurehead chairman of the board. Okay, when he tells CM Punk to leave, why isn't the first words out of CM Punk's mouth, who are you to tell me to leave? Shouldn't that be his immediate statement coming out of his mouth as the rebel, the live wire, the pipe bomb? No, he's like, all right, I'll leave. They left. They all left. Cena left. CM Punk left. Sheamus left. They just left. I was like, okay, you guys are now all geeks. It's just, I don't know. You know, when I was a kid, I hate doing that because I feel old and it's just a stupid thing to say. And if you're young, you're probably like, geez, Brian, we don't care about when you were a kid. But when I was a kid, wrestlers were supposed to be like superheroes. They were all supposed to be like rich and they drove fancy cars and they smoked big cigars and you know, they walked into a restaurant and everyone flocked to them and they ate for free and all this stuff. That's what wrestlers were when I was a kid. Now they're dorks. You know, in TNA they got no money and they're jerked around. And in WWE, they're all losers. They really are all losers except for the top guys, you know. God bless John Morrison. It's not his fault. But, man, you know, okay, so the storyline is that you walked out on Triple H, a babyface. And I don't even know why, because nothing ever happened to you. But I guess you walked out as a show of solidarity. And then he gets replaced by John Laurinaitis, who, in your mind, your character thinks sucks even more than Triple H. So instead of staying out of the building and sticking up for what you believed in, you just walked right back in. And then you told the guy he was an idiot, and they sent you to the ring, and you were beaten in a minute. I mean, who in God's name could get behind a person like this? It's impossible. It has nothing to do with Twitter and Facebook is the actual point that I was getting to here. You know, there are a lot of problems with Twitter and Facebook and social media and people not knowing how to use it. Okay, that's undoubtedly an issue to a degree. But it's not the reason things are bad right now. You know, the reason things are bad right now to me, almost nothing to do with Twitter and Facebook. It has to do with how people are promoted and how people are portrayed. And it's a bunch of characters that your average person, they can't get behind.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's how you present you and your brand, and it's what your brand is promoting. That's why it works. I mean, when you tweet garbage, then it's garbage. You know, it's just these guys aren't getting themselves in trouble with what they're saying. I mean, they could say anything they wanted. If they were good enough and strong enough, it really wouldn't matter. It'd be, you know, it just, people would look the other way or make a double standard for them. I mean, it just shows you where you're at right now in this. You have always had this passion, this lust to be pop culture and being on the cutting edge and being this and being that, and they're not enough of anything, including what built them, which is simple wrestling, where all of this stuff stems from anyway. The simplest feuds, the simplest things are the stuff that still works.
All right, let's look at some of the other news here while we have time here on this program. David Lagana, who was a creative writer for WWE and later went to work for ROH and had been doing, ironically, social media for ROH, has left the company and he is going to work for TNA. And if you've ever heard David Lagana on our show, you're probably shocked that he ended up going to TNA. But the deal with David Lagana is there is a new division in TNA that works on, I guess, international television projects. And I shouldn't even say international, just non-impact television projects. All Wheels Wrestling, for example, which is, they have already done a taping. They're doing a show. I think they already did one show. Actually, TNA didn't. There is a network in India that had a wrestling show last year promoted by somebody else, and I guess TNA is going to be in charge of the show in 2012. And so David Lagana has been hired to go and work on the outside projects, the non-impact television shows that are being done elsewhere in the United States and elsewhere internationally. So I guess he's going to be heading to India to work on this program, along with Jeff Jarrett and I believe Dutch Mantel as well. They're going to have a new roster. They're basically going to be pulling together guys that are not working for WWE, TNA, or ROH, guys that are independent and that are able to work elsewhere. And they're going to go tape in India. So there you go. That is the deal. He's not going to be replacing Vince Russo. He's not going to be working on Impact. He's not going to have anything to do with any of the stuff that you see at Bound for Glory or TNA television. He's going to be doing outside projects. And quite frankly, just looking at the people involved in the India project, Dutch Mantel, Jeff Jarrett, and David Lagana, I don't know. It sounds like that show is going to be a hell of a lot better than Impact.
Yeah, that sounds. Let me have that one for free streaming on Facebook. I just, you know, obviously Lagana does quality and you know, good work where, you know, and with some of the production issues in TNA, occasionally I was kind of hoping he'd be there. But you know what? It sounds like a good thing for him, and obviously, you know, getting paid is never a bad thing, and the fact that Dutch Mantel is getting paid, you know, that sounds great. In fact, I'd like to hear just a half hour of Dutch Mantel telling stories.
As a television show?
Absolutely.
Huh. He's actually done that on our radio show before, which is available in our archives right now. Other news, Brock Lesnar announced for the WWE 12 video game. This was a deal made a long time ago. And
updated tattoos.
Apparently updated tattoos, that's right. But he's involved in the game. He's not coming back to WWE. I don't really know what else to say about it. I mean, you know, Dana approved it. I guess the story was that the WWE 12 developers were actually, I think in 2 weeks, some of the developers for this game are going to be on our radio show. So if you're a big video game fan and you want to ask them questions, I'll give you information on how to do that on our board and on the front page in the next couple of days. But apparently they saw the famous video of the Undertaker Brock Lesnar stare down at UFC 123. I can't remember the number it was, but anyway, they obviously everybody was thinking they were going to get a wrestling match out of this, and when it was clear that there was not going to be a match taking place between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, the developers thought, hey, maybe we could get them to do a match in a video game. And they approached WWE, and they approached UFC, and to, I'm sure, their shock, both sides said, hey, sure. So now Brock Lesnar's in the WWE 12 video game, and he's going to be all over WWE TV, I guess, in promotion for that. And it's pretty fascinating, actually.
And nothing wrong with that. Obviously, you know, that's good for everyone all the way around there. Because why not? I mean, it doesn't. Only thing it does is help sell the video game, which I can't see changing, you know, that dramatically year after year. So, you know, it's a reason for people to buy it. And again, it's good. Good buzz for both sides.
Sad story. Dr. X, who was a former CMLL wrestler, he had gone independent, shot and killed last week. He was at a party in Mexico, and apparently a fight broke out between some other people, and he was shot in the head. And there are some people who believe that he tried to jump in the way of someone who was being shot at, and he took the bullet for them. They rushed him to the hospital. The hospital was very close, about a half mile away, but he was pronounced dead on arrival. So a very sad story there. And don't really have any new information on that. There's a lot written about it in Figure Four Weekly and in this week's Observer. But that is the gist of that story. And it's very, very sad. So we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment, talk a little bit more here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for another 2 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts in just a moment. Literally the moment this show goes off the air. On pay-per-view, it is TNA's biggest show of the year. TNA's version of WrestleMania. It is TNA Bound for Glory, headlined by Bobby Roode, challenging Kurt Angle for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Also, Hulk Hogan, in potentially his final match ever, will be facing Sting. The stipulations being that if Sting loses, he retires from wrestling. And if Hulk Hogan loses, the power in TNA is given back to Dixie Carter. So that show is airing here in just a moment. On the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, right now, Dave Meltzer is going to be doing 2 hours, 3 hours of live running play-by-play of the show. He's going to give you the results of all of the matches as they take place. So if you don't buy the pay-per-view, or if you do buy the pay-per-view and you want to follow along and see what Dave's thoughts are on the show, head to WrestlingObserver.com for that. And after the show goes off the air, Dave and I are going to be doing a brand new radio show talking all the results of the matches, all of the angles. We'll talk WWE in Mexico and all of the news from the week. Brand new, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, in the final moments here as we are about to go off the air, it's time. It is time for Bound for Glory. What's the buy rate going to be?
25,000.
25,000, he says. I am predicting 35,000. I think the Hulkamaniacs are turning out. I was going to say en masse, but seriously. I think we've got some Hulkamaniacs turning out today that want to live the dream one more time. One more Hulk Hogan and Sting match. And I guess really the question is this Hulk Hogan versus Sting match going to be better or worse than the Hulk Hogan versus Sting match at Starrcade in 1997?
I was there, so God knows. I hope it's not worse. But you know what? I hope that if it starts getting bad, somebody in production will just throw up a tape of Hulk Hogan on ESPN this week and everything will be well.
That's on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. We are totally out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back later on tonight at WrestlingObserver.com and back next week, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.